What if the key to raising lifelong readers isn't found in curriculum guides or reading programs, but in something far simpler and far more elusive? After nearly three decades in classrooms spanning every type of school imaginable, Mary Leonhardt discovered a truth that flies in the face of conventional wisdom. Children don't learn to love reading through rigorous instruction or carefully monitored book lists. They fall in love with reading the same way they fall in love with anything else, through pleasure, freedom, and genuine connection. Her insights challenge everything we think we know about literacy development, revealing why our well-intentioned efforts often backfire spectacularly. Walk into most homes and you'll find a troubling pattern. Children who dutifully complete assigned reading but never pick up a book for pleasure. Parents celebrate when kids finish their required reading, unaware they're witnessing not success, but failure. Real literacy isn't about decoding words or answering comprehension questions. It's about developing a reading life. The statistics tell a sobering story. Most American adults read fewer than one book per year after leaving school. Despite years of reading instruction, literacy programs, and book reports, we're producing generations of people who can read but choose not to. This isn't a decoding problem or a comprehension issue. It's a motivation crisis rooted in how we teach reading from the earliest years. Consider what happens in typical classrooms. Teachers assign books, set deadlines, require reports, and test comprehension. Students learn that reading means obligation, not exploration. Books become homework rather than adventure. Even good students who excel at these tasks often abandon reading entirely once the external pressure disappears. They've learned to perform reading without ever experiencing its genuine pleasures. The damage runs deeper than simple disinterest. When reading becomes associated with surveillance and evaluation, children develop active aversion. The student who once begged for bedtime stories now groans at reading assignments. The child who loved picture books suddenly hates reading by third grade. We've systematically trained them to resist the very activity we hoped to cultivate. Think about how you became good at anything you truly excel at. Did harsh criticism and rigid requirements create your passion? Or did enjoyment and freedom fuel thousands of hours of voluntary practice? The same principle governs reading development. Children who love reading will read voraciously, accumulating the practice hours that build genuine literacy. Those who dread it will do the minimum required and never develop real skill. This isn't permissive parenting or lowered standards. It's understanding how human motivation actually works. A child who reads 30 books they chose and loved learns more than one who grudgingly completed three assigned classics. Volume matters enormously. Fluency, vocabulary, comprehension, and writing ability all develop through extensive reading. There's no shortcut. You can't force-feed literacy any more than you can force-feed a love of music by requiring scales without ever letting someone hear a song they enjoy. The research supports this emphatically. Studies consistently show that independent reading time predicts literacy achievement better than any instructional method. Children who read widely for pleasure outperform those who receive intensive skills instruction but read little. Yet schools continue prioritizing direct instruction over reading volume, somehow expecting literacy to develop without the practice that creates it. Parents often resist this approach, fearing that without requirements and monitoring, children won't read quality literature or develop properly. This anxiety is understandable but misguided. A child who devours popular series is developing literacy. One who struggles through imposed classics while hating every minute is not. Trust the process. Reading begets more reading. As skills and confidence grow, so does taste. The teenager who started with comic books often ends up reading sophisticated literature, but only if we don't kill their reading motivation first. Long before children can decode words, parents are either building or undermining future reading lives. The preschool years offer an irreplaceable opportunity to associate books with warmth, comfort, and pleasure. A toddler snuggled on a parent's lap, hearing a beloved story repeated for the 100th time, is learning something profound. Books are sources of joy and connection. Make reading part of daily routine, but keep it pleasurable rather than educational. Bedtime stories shouldn't become phonics lessons. Let children choose books, even if they select the same one repeatedly. Repetition isn't boring to young children. It's comforting and helps them internalize language patterns. Honor their preferences rather than imposing yours. The goal isn't exposing them to classics. It's helping them fall in love with stories. Create a print-rich environment without making it feel like school. Keep books accessible throughout your home, in bedrooms, bathrooms, family rooms, even the car. Visit libraries regularly, treating trips as adventures rather than errands. Let children get library cards as soon as possible, giving them ownership over their reading choices. The child who feels books belong to them rather than to school or parents develops a completely different relationship with reading. Model reading yourself. Children imitate what they see, not what they're told. If you're constantly on devices but never reading books, your children absorb that message regardless of your verbal encouragement. Keep books visible in your home. Let children see you reading for pleasure. Discuss books at dinner. Make reading a valued family activity rather than something children do while adults do real activities. Perhaps most importantly, never use reading as punishment or withhold it as discipline. Some parents, in a misguided attempt to motivate homework completion, ban pleasure reading until assignments are finished. This teaches children that reading is a privilege to be earned rather than a natural, valuable activity. It's like banning children from playing outside until they finish their vegetables. It positions the thing you want them to love as a reward rather than a fundamental good. As children enter school, parents face a critical choice: support the school's approach or quietly subvert it when necessary. This isn't about undermining teachers, but about protecting your child's reading life from well-intentioned but counterproductive practices. The assigned book approach dominates elementary schools. Teachers select books, students read them together, and everyone completes the same activities. This seems logical. How else can teachers ensure all students are reading? But it systematically kills reading motivation. Children learn that reading means someone else choosing your book, reading at someone else's pace, and proving you read through worksheets and tests. No wonder they don't read independently. A better approach, increasingly supported by research, is independent reading with accountability. Children choose their own books from age-appropriate options. They read during dedicated school time and at home. Teachers conference individually with students, discussing books, and monitoring progress without the surveillance of tests and reports. This develops actual reading habits while respecting individual interests and reading levels. If your child's school uses the assigned book approach, supplement it at home with complete reading freedom. Let your child read whatever interests them: magazines, comic books, series books, graphic novels, whatever. Don't worry about quality. A child reading Captain Underpants is developing literacy. One staring blankly at an assigned quality book is not. Volume trumps literary merit during these formative years. Book reports deserve special mention as a reading motivation killer. The implicit message of book reports is that reading isn't valuable in itself. It only counts if you produce evidence. This transforms reading from pleasure to work. If your child's teacher requires book reports, help your child complete them efficiently without letting them dominate reading time. Better yet, advocate with teachers and administrators for replacing book reports with reading conferences or journals that don't require the same level of production. Summer reading programs can either support or undermine reading development depending on their structure. Programs requiring specific books or extensive reports often create summer-long battles. Better programs let children choose freely from broad categories and use simple accountability, like brief journals. If your child's school assigns summer reading that's creating resistance, do the minimum required while providing plenty of self-selected reading options. A summer spent reading 20 books your child chose beats grudgingly completing 3 assigned ones. Teenage years bring unique challenges to reading development. Academic pressures intensify, social dynamics shift, screen time explodes. Many students who read enthusiastically as children abandon books entirely during middle and high school. Yet these years are crucial. Students who maintain reading habits through adolescence typically become lifelong readers. The academic reading load in middle and high school often crowds out pleasure reading entirely. students drowning in assigned textbook chapters and required novels have no time or energy for independent reading. They begin associating all reading with obligation. Parents can help by protecting time for pleasure reading even when homework piles up. An hour of self-selected reading before bed isn't wasted time. It's maintaining the reading habit that will serve them throughout life. Young adult literature has exploded in quality and diversity, offering sophisticated stories that resonate with teenage experiences. Yet some parents and teachers dismiss these books as insufficiently literary, pushing classics instead. This is counterproductive. A teenager who devours contemporary YA novels is developing literacy and reading stamina. One who pretends to read Dickens while actually watching Netflix is not. Trust that students who read extensively in genres they enjoy will eventually develop broader tastes. Respect privacy around reading choices. Teenagers are developing independence and identity. Trying to control or monitor their reading sends the message that you don't trust their judgment. Unless you have serious concerns about genuinely inappropriate content, let them choose freely. The teenager reading horror or romance novels is reading. That's what matters. Technology presents both threats and opportunities. Phones and social media genuinely compete with reading time. Yet e-readers and audiobooks make reading more accessible. Find what works for your teenager. Some students who resist physical books will read on devices. Others discover audiobooks transform their commute or exercise time into reading time. Stay flexible and open to different formats. If your teenager has stopped reading entirely, investigate why without judgment. Are they overwhelmed with schoolwork, struggling with assigned reading, simply haven't found books they enjoy? Each cause requires different responses. The student drowning in homework needs protected reading time. The struggling reader needs books at their actual reading level, not grade level. The student who hasn't found their genre needs exposure to different types of books through bookstore browsing or library exploration. Creating lifelong readers isn't about any single strategy or intervention. It's about consistently prioritizing reading pleasure over reading performance throughout childhood. This requires patience, trust, and often swimming against the current of conventional educational practice. Remember that reading development isn't linear. Children go through phases of reading obsessively, then barely at all. They fixate on single authors or genres before moving on. These patterns are normal. Don't panic when your previously voracious reader seems to stop. Keep books available and reading time protected. The habit will return when life circumstances allow. The ultimate goal isn't raising children who can read, but children who do read. There's a profound difference. Every literate adult can read. Most choose not to. Your job as a parent isn't ensuring your child can decode text or answer comprehension questions. Schools handle that. Your job is protecting and nurturing the intrinsic motivation that makes reading a chosen activity rather than an abandoned skill. This means sometimes making unpopular choices. It might mean limiting screen time when peers have unlimited access. It might mean advocating with teachers for different approaches to reading instruction. It might mean accepting your child's reading choices even when you wish they'd read something more substantial. These decisions aren't always easy, but they're guided by a clear principle. Anything that increases reading volume and preserves reading pleasure is good. Anything that decreases volume or creates aversion is bad. Years from now, your child won't remember specific book reports or reading logs. They'll remember whether books felt like friends or enemies, whether reading was freedom or obligation, whether the adults in their life trusted them to find their own path into literacy. In a world of infinite entertainment options, readers are made not through requirements, but through love. Give your children that gift. Protect their reading time, respect their choices, and trust that pleasure is the most powerful teacher. When they're adults reaching for books in moments of joy, stress, or curiosity, you'll know you succeeded in the task that matters most.